Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Congratulations on 20 great years, and just know that you're the only person I would ever get up and talk to at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know you started this show when you were only, what, 6 or 7 years old?
Remember to keep going, because we're not done with you yet. Godspeed, amigo.
I'm back celebrating the third decade of the Small Business Advocate Show with our good friend Don Fotopoulos. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is theageofthecustomer.com, and the third ingredient with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Don, I need your website, please.
TheHiddenProfitAcademy.com.
HiddenProfitAcademy.com. Can they find your book?
And the book is Accounting for the Number Phobic, a survival guide for small business owners.
There you go, folks. And I'm telling you, it needs to be on your desk, not on your shelf. Okay, Don, we're talking about helping baby boomer, especially baby boomer family business owners, transition, start the process of transitioning to something else, letting somebody else run your business and walk away with some money.
Yeah.
You got some things that they need to do.
Well, the first thing you have to do is make believe you have to sell the business tomorrow and get either your accountant or a business broker in your orbit, have a conversation with them and say, if I had to sell this business tomorrow, what's it worth? And the one thing I guarantee you, Jim, is what you think it's worth is not what you could get for that business tomorrow.
You'd be lucky to get 10%.
There's a huge gap in what people think a business is worth and what it's actually worth. So first you have to have the rude awakening, right? Then the second thing you have to do is get your financials in order and ask yourself, what's my goal? If I want to sell this business in 3 years, 5 years, forget about even the time frame, but if I want to sell this business for $1 million, $2 million, what numbers does the business have to hit in order for us to get to that valuation? So all of a sudden, the accounting methodology starts to change, because it's not about just reducing my bottom line so I reduce my taxes. Because if you play that game, it reduces the ultimate valuation of the business, okay? So that's why you got to sit down and say to the accountant, okay, what are we really doing now? If we're maximizing terminal value, which is what the value of the business is called, then we got to not just reduce taxes, but we have to make sure that everybody understands what is real and what is real gross margin, real bottom line in the business. And also, we have to stop playing the games of taking all the money out of the business and putting personal expenses
playing games with the inventory and things like that. The thing that I like to use, the term I like to use, Don, that I'd like for people to start thinking about is called recasting the financial statements, recasting them. So what you're doing is you're restructuring the financial statements, the operating statement, the P&L, the balance sheet, the cash flow, all that. You're restructuring them in a pro forma way that looks like somebody else is running the business, not you. You're setting it up as if it were the next person running the business. It's called recasting, because when the person comes in to buy your business, they're going to recast it too. And if they have to recast it from where you come from, that's too long of a leap for them. They need to recast it from where you've set it up for them, not how you used to operate it.
Well, that's right. And the truth is, if you don't make those shifts before the transition happens, it will cut the terminal value in half or three quarters.
Right?
So the idea is to maximize the terminal value. When you're in your late 60s, early 70s, mid-70s, now's the time to start doing that, because it takes time to make that transition. And then last but not least, if you have a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a niece, a nephew, or somebody in your family who wants to take the business over, they got to get at least 2 years of experience under their belt working for someone else. Make sure they get industry experience someplace else before they come into your business, because it means somebody else paid for their learning curve and it wasn't you.
Yep. Yep.
And nobody does that. But I heard in the Independent Jewelers Association, There's some very, very smart people. I'm going to be speaking at that conference next week. I can't wait, right? Wonderful people, gorgeous jewelry, twist my arm. So I'm speaking to them, and they're all entrepreneurs. It's all family businesses, some of them second, third generation family businesses. And they send their kids to go learn how to make watches, go learn how to be a jewelry craftsman, and go work for somebody else, a big company, and then come back into the family business. I think that's tremendous wisdom.
And some of them don't come back, and you needed to know that. If they weren't going to be happy in the business, you need to know that before you made them part of the business. Don, thanks again for being here. HiddenProfitAcademy.com, is that right?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Don, good job today. Come back soon.
Thanks, Tim. Great to be with you.
Don Fotopoulos, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassing, and remind you to seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.